This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, it's Wednesday of Derby Week, everyone, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 29th, episode 1158. Good morning, Horse World.
A beautiful day in Louisville for the 63rd running of the Kentucky Derby in 1937. 103 colts nominated for this one, 20 go postward, headed by number one War Admiral, a good one with Charlie Kurtzinger. He's the 8-5 favorite, and he's a little bit fractious at the gate. Settle down there, War Admiral, we're ready. 20 of them coming out of there, and Heel Fly breaks on top, but the Admiral's out of early trouble. Charlie Kurtzinger sends them up as they come through the stretch for the first time. Now they move around the turn. The leader, War Admiral, 2.5 for 3. Who can catch him? Pompoon says, I can. He drives up on the outside into second place in the final quarter. Here they come into the stretch. It's War Admiral. The crowd is screaming. Pompoon is on second. 3/16 of a mile to go. It's War Admiral, 2 lengths. Pompoon's under left-handed whipping, doing his best. But he's not catching the Admiral yet. They're in the final 16th. And on top, it's War Admiral with Pompoon on the outside. But they're waving the stick. Charlie Kurtzing is waving the stick at the Admiral. He's drawing away. He's an easy winner. And here comes the finish. War Admiral, much the best, with Pompoon second.
The camera highlights in the world of sports. And they're away. Pounding down the straightaway past the stand. The crafty maneuvering of jockeys raiding high-strung thoroughbreds in the run to the turn. Dispose leading the pack out in front by a length and a half. Corners Cap, Blue Pair, Odd Boots, and Robert Morris closely bunched behind the flying leader. Whirl Away, betting favorite, eased smartly by jockey Eddie R. Carroll in the tight going at the turn. For jockey R. Carroll now, they're alone with a critical moment when Whirl Away, number 4, heads for the stretch turn. His dangerous habit of going wide, but R. Carroll knows his mount, and with canny skill and a master's touch, guides the chestnut cone-awaited realization of a cherished hope when Whirl Away is acclaimed $61,000 winner in America's Greatest Run for the Roses.
Citation, the hard-charging thoroughbred ridden by Eddie Arcaro, came from 8 lengths back to overtake Coal Town and win the 1948 Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs.
Secretary throws his head a bit. And they're off. The leaders as they come forward out of the stretch. That's the head of the stretch, and Sam is the leader. He leads it by a length. Secretary is in the center of the racetrack and driving. Jackie Green now drops back. Coming on a bit is Forgo, our native on the outside. Now and then the stretch, it's Secretariat. Secretariat on the outside to take the lead. Sham holding in second. It's Secretariat moving away. He has it by 2.5. Sham, then on the outside, our native. At the wire, it's going to be Secretariat. He wins it by 2 lengths.
My God, if that doesn't give you goosebumps and get you a little teary-eyed and excited, I don't know what will. Man!
I love that old sound, don't you? The old sound, the old announcers and everything. It's so cool.
Absolutely, especially when they're throwing out names like Eddie R. Carroll. I mean, it's just insane. The history of the Kentucky Derby is just... it's just mired in our country, in our country's history. They work together. So really, really cool. I like that you put that together. It's one of those weeks. It's like I feel cheated because I didn't get to do Monday's wrap-up Rolex show, and it's like, boom, hit the brakes on the Rolex, you know, hit the gas on the Derby stuff. And, you know, I've been following the Derby thing really closely all year and looking at the horses and trying to make educated picks. And, you know, I did download that app where I can bet from my phone. Woo! This might get ugly. I haven't told Chad about that yet, though. But the first,
can you send me over what that app? Can you just send me over what that app is when Jennifer's not looking? Okay, just
dude, TVG baby, TVG.
Bet right on there. Yeah.
Yes, and they're running a special. The first $250 you bet, then you get that much as a credit or something. $100 and $100, I don't know, but they'll match what you. And then that got my attention. I'm like, oh. All sweet. All
free money.
I sign up and it's free $250. Not only after you lose $250 do they give you $250 back, but it's like free money. I mean, come on. So it got me. They got me. But it is definitely, you know, Derby week. I have friends in Louisville that are not horse people and they're like, this is our favorite week of the year because all of Louisville, all of Kentucky, just, you know, you think Rolex is a big deal and then you watch the crowds roll in for the Derby and they're just all super excited. And people, and I wonder, I guess all horse people get this, you know, those of us that like horses and you guys listening to the show obviously like horses, do you get random people that are your non-horsey friends and acquaintances asking you questions about the Derby? Like, because you like horses, you're supposed to know everything about the Kentucky
Derby?
That's
right. Yes, that is true. Because horses are just horses, you know? It's
right.
No different.
They
That's
think
right.
we race
right.
horses anyway. You know, the paint horse in my backyard, it's a lesson pony. Clearly, he must have been a Kentucky Derby contender at some point.
Well, I got to tell you, the weather forecast I just looked up is supposed to be better than it was for Rolex, which was pouring down rain and cold. It is supposed to be 75 degrees and sunny at this point for Saturday. So that's,
oh my gosh, that's perfect.
Yeah, so yeah, they're actually calling for no rain all week long in Louisville. So let's hope
Finally.
It stays that way. Yeah. Yeah, Kentucky's just been drenched.
Yeah, and it has been. I mean, they've been talking about that rain for quite some time. So it's they're due a dry week. And we'll definitely talk a little bit more about the Derby coming up. Jennifer, why don't you tell us what's coming up on today's show?
On today's jam-packed Wednesday edition, as Jamie mentioned, we are gearing up for all things Kentucky Derby. And we'll start with some lists and some who knew worthy trivia. And then mid-show, we'll take a break for the horse health segment with Rutgers Equine Science Center talking about betting. And then Victoria Spicer stops by with the European Report, in which badminton, the next big four-star, will surely feature prominently. And at the wire, Mucho Macho Man's owner, Dean Reeves, is going to stop by with the been there and done that viewpoint on the Kentucky Derby for this year. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Busy day.
Yeah, no
busy,
kidding.
Busy day here. Yeah, well, let's do our daily win. Well, my daily winnie goes out to our listener from Las Vegas, Rachel Rosenthal, just because I like her and she has been posting so much cool stuff to our Facebook page and we really appreciate that. So kudos to you, Rachel.
Oh my gosh. You know, today's one of those days where my husband's been flying nights, and I don't want to get into it too much, Glenn, because I don't really have any details, but he's been flying nights, and, you know, he gets home at like 3 or 4 in the morning, so we don't see each other all that much when he flies these really late nights, but apparently last night he was up, you know, watching TV, and that's really weird, so I walked out, I was awake, and I walked out, and I said, why are you not in bed? Go to bed. It's 4 in the morning. And he's like, I'm just wide awake. And apparently at some point during his flight, they had a bird strike, which is not a good thing when you're in a single engine fighter jet. And I guess he was just up trying to decompress. But kudos to my husband and the pilot who was in the jet with him. Both of them were able to navigate through it and land safely. And I guess things did not work out as well for the bird. but sorry about that, little birdie. Poor little out for you, but I'm glad my husband is home safe and sound.
Wow, yeah, that's something. I know bird strikes in any plane are bad news. So
yeah.
Are those single engine?
Yes, single engines. So you lose your engine.
I thought there were the F-16s were dual. Maybe not. Yeah, you're right. They're on the back tail. You're right. Yeah. I never thought about that before.
Yeah.
So, well, we're good. We're glad he's home safe, and we're glad he comes home every day he does safely.
Yeah, just one of those reminders that's what he does. You know, you just...
Yeah.
I get so used to him just going to work, so it's nice when they come home, and just the rest of our military that is not home right now and thinking about all of them. Whew, it's a tough thing to hear. So he's in bed and sleeping now, so we're all good.
All right, good, very good. Well, we have Kentucky Derby to talk about coming up this week, today, and then Friday. We'll devote all the first hour to it. We have some special guests lined up on Friday. But today we have the Kentucky Derby. A couple things. Let's start with the week's events. Today, Wednesday, the draw for the post occurs at 5:30 tonight. That's always a big deal. It's a spectacle. They kind of make a spectacle out of it. You can watch that on NBC Sports Network tonight at 5:30 Eastern Time. Friday, we have the Kentucky Oaks at 5:45. There's a whole day of racing on Friday, but the Kentucky Oaks is at 5:45. Of course, that's the girls, right, Jamie?
That's all fillies. Kentucky Oaks is the Kentucky Derby for the females. Now, females can run in the Derby, but Derby horses can't run, and males can't run in the Oaks. It's all girls all day.
All right.
I'm sorry
that
I'm not more educated on that. I think there's one horse that I kind of know is going to win, and we'll talk about that on Friday. But otherwise, I don't know that much about it. I can only focus on so much crap at once with Rolex and Derby and Badman. It's too much. So much at once.
Well, that'll start at 5:45 p.m. post, and that's also on NBC Sports Network. Their coverage starts at 3, so they'll cover some of the other races, too. And then on Saturday, of course, ESPN usually starts its coverage, about 6 in the morning? It seems like.
And that's
like
why
Jennifer's watching
out.
It all day. Yeah. So Jennifer has a dilemma this weekend because the new Marvel movie, the new Avengers movie, comes out. So it's like, that starts Friday. She's going to have to wait till Sunday now to watch the Avengers movie because of racing.
You know, there's sacrifices you have to make, Jennifer, and this is one of those. You know, hashtag first world problems, right?
Yeah, first world problem, right.
Yeah.
Well, the Kentucky Derby is at 6:25 or 6:30 or 7 o'clock, whenever the hell they get around to putting them in the starting gate, which always seems to take forever. That's on Saturday. NBC Sports starts their coverage at 4 p.m., but as I said, coverage usually starts around, noon on ESPN? So somebody's going to be having coverage all day long. You won't have to worry about that.
And again, if you get that TVG betting app, you get access to every race as it's about to happen. So you know what? You do have to give them your credit card number. So
be careful.
Yeah. I have a policy that I never give my credit card number to an app. That's just my policy.
Yeah. You know what's funny is, actually, here's the thing, Jennifer. It's funny. I didn't finish. It was just too much stuff all at once. And I'm like, I'm tired of waiting on this. I put in all my personal information, and then they wanted credit card, and then all this and that. And so I didn't finish downloading and putting my together that whole app process. And I got a freaking phone call later on that day, 2 hours later.
Really?
This is Jenny. Notice that you did not finish your account, and we would be happy to help you finish all of that. And so, yes, they called me, and I was like, so I said to them, I'm like, how safe is this? Absolutely. Well, of course, they're going to say 100% safe.
Yeah, 100%. We've never been hacked.
Well, it's not like it's, you know, Mario at the betting window down at the corner. Seriously, it's like, you know, TVG. So I felt a little safer. But you know what? You can always cancel a credit card and get your charges back. So so basically, I'm screwed.
Maybe the credit card with the lowest limit is the one you put on there.
Yes. There, yes. Yeah. Don't give them your debit card.
No, that'd be bad. Well, which would you rather do first? 10 things you didn't know about the Kentucky Derby, or do you want to go down through some of the horses that are scheduled to be in the race?
You know, I'll go through probably maybe 5 or 10 of the top horses, and then you can do that list, because I think that everybody wants to know things you don't know about the Derby. But just to kind of touch in on all of the horses, you've got, let's see, starting out with American Pharoah. He's kind of, I think he's going to be the morning line favorite. He's the one everybody's talking about. He has had a couple Derby preps this year, and he just smoked everybody. It was, I mean, the way that this horse runs, you just think there's no way this horse can be beat. He's going to be ridden by Victor Espinoza, and he's trained by Bob Baffert, and his name is American Pharoah. And you think, he can't lose, until you see Dortmund run. I watched Dortmund in his last prep race. Oh, my gosh. First of all, he's like 17-2. He's like a big, giant monster of a horse. He's ridden by Martin Garcia, also trained by Bob Baffert. And he is just incredible. He is like Seattle Slough. He arrives for the Kentucky Derby undefeated. And when you ever have anything to compare yourself with Seattle Slough, that's a good thing. So I think he's going off probably the second favorite at 4-1. Another one that is really popular is a horse named Carpe Diem. Carpe Diem sees the day. This is the horse that he ran in the Breeders' Cup Classic and ruined my perfect record of betting, because I bet on him to win. And, I mean, I was like, there's no way Carpe Diem's going to lose this race. Boom! And he came in second place in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile to a horse named, I think it would work all the way, I can't remember. But the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, he came in second. So,
wasn't that his only second, too? He's won every other race, right? Yeah.
That's the only time he's
won. That's just because you bet.
I know. It's terrible. I'm going to screw all of them. And there's another one of my favorites. And I'm going to, we'll talk more about all these horses on Friday. It's a horse named Mubtahi. He's ridden by a jockey named
Christoph. Is that how you say that? I didn't have any clue.
Yes, Mubtahi. He is from the UAE, and he has not run one single U.S. prep race. And I just want to tell you guys about this horse real quick. Glenn, this horse, Jennifer, you're not going to believe this. He's barefoot.
Really?
Oh, really?
Wait a minute.
No shoes. Mubtahi is barefoot. He has never had a pair of shoes on, from what I can understand. He is totally barefoot, doesn't have those racing plates, doesn't have any of that. Another fun fact, he has never run on Lasix. He has never been given a drug to run. And
yeah, because
you know,
of where he was racing, that's not allowed, right? I mean, you just don't do it.
So they could do it when they get here, you know, and level the playing field. They're like, whatever, we don't need it. He's never needed it before. He's not a bleeder, so we're not going to use it. And, of course, you know, people use it to stave off a problem called what they call them bleeders, which is EIPH, which is exercise-induced pulmonary hemorrhaging, where the blood vessels in their lungs break and they bleed out their nose while they're running. It could be very bad. He's never had that problem. But the problem is that a lot of American trainers use Lasix because it has other positive effects as far as getting your blood pressure down while you're running. It's a whole big thing. And he could use it. And they're like, nope, that's okay. The other fun fact about him is, you know, when you're watching racehorses walk around the barns beforehand, or they're standing in their stalls, they're biting the chain that's wrapped around their nose, or they're biting their owners, or biting anybody that walks by. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't think there's one racehorse in America that you see without a chain around its nose.
Well, there is one now. Mubtahi walks around like an old show pony. Seriously, they lead him around, no chain, cotton lead rope around his leather halter. It is amazing. This is the chillest horse ever. This is all stuff that you won't read on the Blood Horse. I have to actually go onto his Facebook page. You can follow him on Facebook, and his profile picture is of his hoof with no shoe on. So I just, really fascinating horse, and it's such a different way that he's being brought into this race. I just can't help but really pull for a horse like that, that's just beating down the stereotypes and is a little bit different. Am I right?
Yeah, I thought you had to have points, enough points, now that I have the new point system where you had to win so many races. Do foreign races count toward the points?
He's got 100 points. Ran in UAE Derby. He beat everybody by 8 lengths in the UAE Derby. So his time, he actually was on the wrong lead the entire stretch run and still won by 8 lengths.
So he's not going to be a dressage horse after, is what you're saying? We're going to roll that out.
He's not going to be a dressage horse. He's in his last 5 starts. He has only been no worse than second in his last 5 starts. And his first off-the-board finishes were his first 2 starts where he raced on the turf in short races. So he's definitely one that we don't know that much about as far as being Americans, and we haven't seen him run in the Travers or the Wood or any of those stakes races. But he's been doing very well over across the pond. So he's one to watch. And then we'll go, I'll give you one more, a horse named Materiality. How do you say that? I have a hard time with that.
I'm not sure on that one either. Materiality? I don't know. I don't know how to say it.
Materiality.
There you go. We'll go with that.
It's too early for me. My God, it's 6:20 in the morning. He actually is interesting. He's ridden by Javier Castellano and trained by Todd Pletcher. I swear all these horses are either trained by Todd Pletcher or Bob Baffert. So this horse is really interesting because he never raced when he was 2 years old. Never. For 2 years old. So they call it the Apollo curse because no horse other than Apollo has won the Kentucky Derby without racing as a 2 year old. When did Apollo win the Kentucky Derby? 1882. So these 2 year old prep races must mean something. But
a few years ago.
Yeah, exactly. He's got a lot of points, but he's going to be an interesting one to watch. I feel like every year there's always one horse that didn't race as a 2 year old, and you never hear anything else about them. So that could be it.
Well, the morning line has American Pharoah, Dortmund, Carpe Diem, and your foreign horse's name I'm not even going to try. In 1, 2, 3, 4, and then Materiality in 5.
Oh, really?
So that's how the morning line has them, yep. Sitting in last place is Tensendor. Tensendor?
66-1.
Yeah.
He did really well in the Wood Memorial, but he just can't seem to beat American Pharoah or Dortmund or Carpe Diem. I can't remember which one he's run about, but he's been like up there, but he hasn't really done anything amazing yet.
Well, we're gonna hear more about him later in the show, Jamie, from Dean Reeves, who has a connection to that horse.
Sweet. Oh, that's cool.
Okay, so we'll hear more about him later, and also we'll hear more about later. Dean also has a connection to Bolo, who's at 40.
Oh, I love that horse too. I love that horse too. Cool. Well, we'll talk.
I haven't decided yet. As far as I haven't gone by my, you know, who has the best name winning pick yet.
That's fine.
There's so many good ones. Ocho 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 is kind of cool. That's a cool name. Keen Ice. There's like a Frosted. There's a couple of cool names here that I have to take a look at. So I have to by Friday, we'll all have to have our picks, and I will have them picked by winning name.
Okay. Right. Let's do it.
It'll be Friday.
All of our picks will be Friday. And listeners too, you guys, we would love to hear your picks. And we will, you can start getting yours organized too, and we'll put something on our Facebook page on Friday and get your picks. And then, you know what, if somebody, I'll come up with a different, like a trifecta, exacta, and a long shot. Maybe whoever wins, Glenn will send a Horses in the Morning coffee mug too. How's that sound, Glenn?
That sounds good. And whatever Jamie picks, do not bet for it. That's just the rule we have here.
Hey, I picked California Chrome last year. Yeah, but everybody else did too. Yeah, I know.
Everybody else did too, yeah. Hey, we had California Chrome, if you remember right, way before anybody even knew his name. We had him last year. We had him picked a long, long way before. Well, I have 10 things here you didn't know about the Kentucky Derby. Now, probably we know them because we've been covering the Kentucky Derby for so long. And probably our listeners do, too. But the Kentucky Derby is the only Triple Crown race that has run consecutively since it began. That's because the Preakness took a hiatus between 1891 and 93, and the Belmont Stakes took a hiatus from 2011 to 2012 due to anti-gambling legislation imposed in the state of New York. So they didn't have the races then. The biggest underdog. Yeah,
that with the I'm surprised that they never stopped for the war, you know, in the 40s.
Yeah,
I just would have
thought too. That's what I thought too. I also thought maybe Prohibition would have been a couple of the years in there where they didn't do it, but apparently they just didn't serve alcohol, or they did. Who knows? The biggest underdog ever to win the Kentucky Derby was Donna Rail at 91-1. And that was in 1913. If you happen to have bet $2 on Donna Rail, you would have netted $184. Now,
unfortunately, only the owner did. He's the only one to bet on him.
That's right. And you know what? $184 went a long way in 1913. The Kentucky Derby was founded by Meriwether Lewis Clark, Jr. Does that ring a bell?
Is that Lewis's son or Clark's son? I guess it'd be Clark's son.
It'd be
Lewis
Clark's
and Clark,
son.
Clark's
yep.
son.
And he was also a colonel. He founded Churchill Downs Racetrack after traveling to England and coming up with the idea of the Louisville Jockey Club. After following through with the idea and building Churchill Downs to house his club races, the track finally opened in 1875. That year, there were four races run at the track, one of which was known as the Kentucky Derby. So there's a fun fact you probably didn't know. The fastest winning time ever recorded by what horse, Jamie?
Secretariat at a minute and 59, I think, 0.4.
Yeah, that's correct. And, of course, everybody knows that because nobody's ever come close. So it's going to be interesting to see if that is ever broken. That was 1973, so a long time ago. Of course, everybody knows the mint julep is the drink, official drink of the Derby, with over 120,000 mint juleps that are served each year. I know, they're awful. I agree.
So
I like mixed drinks, and I don't like a mint julep. The Kentucky Derby is actually the youngest of the Triple Crown races, and that is the others started. The Derby was run in 1875. The Preakness was started in 1867. And the Belmont was started in 1873.
Huh.
How old do you think the youngest jockey ever was?
You know, there's there were no laws back in the 1800s, so probably a little younger than we are comfortable with.
Yes. How about 15 years old? And not only that, in 1892, Alonzo Clayton. And he was an African-American jockey from Kansas City, Missouri.
The early jockeys were, and the top young jockeys were all African-American.
Yep. Well, they were light, and they apparently could get around the course. We don't talk about how many actually made it around in those days.
I know.
Nobody talks about
that. Watch the movie Seabiscuit, and you'll see. You'll see how things worked.
How about the slowest? This is something you don't hear too often. The slowest winning time ever recorded at the Kentucky Derby.
Ooh.
This was by a horse by the name of King Man. In the early days of the Derby, the fastest 2 minutes in sports moniker wouldn't have really worked. Most of the time, the winners finished in a time close to 2:30. But King Man and the rest of the field really took their time getting around the track in 1912. He won the Derby. Now, what did we say Secretariat's time was? Again, 159?
Under under 2 minutes. Only like three horses have ever done it under 2 minutes, and they're usually around 2 minutes, 1 second, 2 minutes, 3 seconds, somewhere around there.
Well, Kingman actually won the Derby in 1912 in the time of 2 minutes, 52 seconds, a full minute slower.
No way. Are you
that
kidding me?
Bad,
they had to...
That was a bad group. The bad group.
I was going to say, you know, Kingman may have won the slowest Derby, but there were a lot of horses behind him that lost the slowest Derby.
That's a good point. The most money ever wagered on the race was in 2012, a cool $133 million. Now, Jamie's going to help make sure that goes over because she now has the TVG app. So set that right over the top this year. By the way, that was the I'll Have Another year that he won.
See, people were drinking like crazy and just gambling.
That's right. Too many of those mint juleps. That's why they serve mint juleps. It gets people loosened up. How could you drink more than one mint julep?
The sugar in
I know.
Have an epileptic seizure. I don't know.
I like strawberry daiquiris. You know, I like margaritas, but mint juleps, ugh. The most wins by a jockey in a Derby history is 5. Eddie Arcaro and Bill Hartack, right?
Are tied
for the record with 5 Derby wins apiece. Arcaro won his 5 Derbies between 1938 and 52, while Hartack did so between 57 and 69. So it's been a while.
I wonder if they ever raced each other. That's a question for our listeners.
Well, they didn't cross over, no. Well, they would have crossed over in Arcaro's later years, in the early 50s, they might have crossed over.
Yeah. I'm just curious. I don't know why I asked that. It's kind of nerdy, but I just was curious.
So there's my fun facts. We'll have some more of those for you on Friday. Unfortunately, on Friday, we're not going to have Reese Coffler Stanfield drinking early from the track.
No! She's not going to the Oaks this year?
Apparently, she's not going to the Oaks this year. So she will not be reporting in. We've had her last, 3-4 years. She's been she's been starting early with the mint juleps at the track on Friday. But, nope, she's not going this year, so we can't get her.
Yeah.
We'll have other, we have other guests lined up, and that'll be just as fun.
Cool.
And one of them, I hope, isn't drinking because he's going to be working. So we'll hope he hasn't We'll hope. All right, let's take a break for our sponsor for this half hour, and that's by Media Equine. And we'll be right back. We all know the importance of deworming our horses, and Dr. Ellefson of Bimedia Equine is helping us make sure we are doing it right. Listen for his 4-part series the first week of every month on this very show. I just wanted to remind everyone, if you are due for deworming, why not save a few bucks on the popular Bimedia line of wormers, including Equimax, Bimectin, Exodus, Exodus Multidose, and Equil. You can find coupons and special offers at buymediaequine.com, including a variety of rebate offers from cash to free ivermectin. You can also get up to $2 a dose back for Equimax. And while you're at buymediaequine, get your free horse health record keeper, and you can just download it there. Plus, learn a bunch about parasites and deworming at buymedia, that's buymediaequine.com. We at the Horse Radio Network all use Bimedia dewormers because we want the best for our horses. And we know you want the best for yours, too. Bimediaequine.com and tell them the Horse Radio Network sent you.
And we would like to welcome our first guest on the show this morning. We have Dr. Westendorf from Rutgers Equine Science Center. Good morning, Dr. Westendorf.
Good morning. Yes, I'm glad to be here this morning. Also with me this morning is Dr. Donna Fennell. Dr. Donna Fennell represents the Environmental Science Department, and she does work with equine science as well with animal waste management. She's going to talk with us a little bit this morning about anaerobic digestion of horse manure. Glad to be here this morning. And welcome. Can give you an overview on what we do, and prepared to answer any questions you have.
Fantastic. That sounds delicious for a morning discussion. digesting poop, basically. So get it started. You guys sound great. Dr. Fennell, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
All right. Well, I guess tell us a little bit. We know about Rutgers because we've had you guys on before, but give us a brief overview about what you guys do.
Just briefly, we work with helping horse farmers and other farmers come up with new ways of managing their waste. One of the big problems in our state is we have a lot of small acreages with more horses than the acreage allots for, and they have to dispose of their manure off-site. So we try to come up with new ways of disposing it, either hauling it away, composting it, selling it off the farm, and anaerobic digestion is one that Dr. Fennell's done some work with, and we've gotten involved in a project together at a farm nearby, not too far from campus. So we try to do some things, and we think that certainly anaerobic digestion is something that although it's been tried with other species, such as especially dairy farms and swine farms, I don't know that it had really been done with horse manure before. Donna had done some work with it here, and I'll let Donna give a bit of an overview on what she does and some of the things they've found working with anaerobic digestion.
Yeah, so I got involved with the Equine Science Center when I first came to Rutgers. My background's in environmental engineering, and I do a lot of work on microbial processes for human benefit. And when we started looking at horse stall waste as a waste product that could be anaerobically digested, we did a...
What's that? Hold on. What's that mean, anaerobically digested? I have no idea what that
means. Thank you. Yeah.
So anaerobic digestion, anaerobic means in the absence of oxygen. So what happens is when we place any material like horse waste or, garbage from your kitchen, cattle waste, crop waste, if we seal it in some type of environment where oxygen can't get in, then microorganisms that are evolved to grow in the absence of oxygen will break that material down. And one of the main products that they produce during that breakdown is methane. And, of course, methane is the main component in natural gas. And so we can produce a fuel gas from the breakdown of this material just by naturally occurring microorganisms.
A good way to explain that process is, I don't know if you're familiar with the digestive processes of a cow or the hind gut or the rear gut of a horse. That fermentation is anaerobic. So when a cow breaks down fiber or a horse breaks down fiber, it's anaerobic digestion that's taking place at that. And just like that, one of the byproducts is methane.
Yes. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. So this can work for any kind of waste. Any kind of animal waste can be used in this way to produce energy. And when we first got involved, we looked around to see who was working on this. And there are very few people who have done research on conversion of horse waste to methane. One group in Austria led by Sigrid Kusch has published a lot of work. They're doing work also on, smaller horse farms, looking at how digestion could be implemented, and we at Rutgers have also done some of that work.
Now, I'm reading your paper, the paper that Dr. Westendorf wrote, and the amount of waste production that you guys really studied is amazing. A horse will produce 35 to 50 pounds of manure daily, 9 tons a year per horse, and 2.4 gallons of urine daily. And a horse kept in a stall will require 8 to 15 pounds of bedding per day. And that is if you are using a wood byproduct. So in this paper, you guys really go over all of those numbers are pretty impressive, obviously. But it leads you to try to figure out what would work better in the field, I guess, as far as getting it to break down and utilize itself. So with those numbers, where did you guys go after that? What are you trying to do?
Just to respond on the numbers, I think if you look at the amount of manure that's produced, not counting the bedding, I would guess that that probably would digest quite well in an anaerobic digestion situation. I think what Donna has found in some other situations is that when you add a lot of straw waste into it, makes it a lot drier, and it makes it the breakdown process, it slows it down a lot. So I think the work she's done and what we found on a field project that we did was that managing that amount of bedding, especially that comes in, is important.
Now, which bedding did you find was the best for that?
Well, we looked at co-digestion of horse manure with a number of different types of bedding. A lot of the horses here in New Jersey are bedded on wood chips, and wood really, under the conditions in the digester, it doesn't degrade very well. So the wood chips may go into the digester and just come out and not be degraded very much at all.
Mm-hmm.
If straw is used, straw is more degradable than wood chips, but straw has its own set of problems because the stalks of the material are long and tend to cause problems with clogging of equipment and machinery. And once the straw is wet, I think we found it's difficult to grind it up to small particles. But the straw is more degradable than wood chips.
Okay, so when you take all this waste and you put it in the machine, I'm going to try and break this down simply. You put it in the machine, and out comes methane gas eventually, right?
That's right.
What is there any use for then? There's still a solid left, right? So, a lot of us would think of that as compost, that compost things. Is there anything that's used for, or are all the nutrients gone at that point?
Yeah, so only about, let's say, 50 to 60% of the material might be converted to biogas that contains methane. And then you're right. After it goes through the digester, you have a substantial portion of the material still left, and all the nutrients are still in that, all the nitrogen and phosphorus. And Mike can talk more about the uses of that material.
I think what often happens on farms that do anaerobically digest, after they've collected the biogas, they will have some solids remaining, as Donna mentioned, and that often is taken removed from the digester and is composted further. And when it's finished, it's quite often a plague to the soil because it's relatively high in phosphorus, and which can be a good nutrient source. Nitrogen's generally more variable. It would be higher in potassium as well, and it still is a fairly good organic matter source. So it can be a very good a soil amendment. The big advantage is of digesting, at least on a dairy farm, is that you get rid of a lot of the odor potential. You get the methane out of there, and you're not going to have as many odors as you would have if you didn't digest it at all. And I'm assuming we're going to find the same things with horse manure, that some of that odor potential is gone.
Now, do they actually have – so is there actually a machine – let's say we have a big cattle farm or a big horse farm for that matter – but so you collect the manure, which we're all familiar with because we do that daily. You collect them, and by the way, we do know that there's 35 to 50 pounds of manure daily. I can attest to that myself. I'm a horse husband. I've cleaned enough stalls. So now when you take that, is it actually put into a machine? And then how is the gas collected to be used for energy?
Well, there are many, many different types of, you're calling it a machine. I would call it, refer to this as a digester.
So, but it's actually a unit. It's a machine
it's
of some
a unit,
sort,
yeah.
Right?
So yeah, it can be a very simple structure, or it can be a very complicated structure. So, for example, on smaller to medium-sized dairy farms, the digester is simply a trench dug in the ground and lined with some kind of very good liner to prevent material from seeping into the ground. And then the manure is pumped through this trench, and the trench is also covered with a polyethylene or some type of plastic covering to allow biogas to accumulate in it. and then there would be some piping installed to, you know, to allow the biogas to flow under pressure to any end use or cleanup that has to be done on that. At larger facilities...
So that goes to a tank of some sort? Is that what happens?
Like a bag, yes. Like a large
poly
bag, yes.
And if, on some of these farms, at least dairy farms that I've visited, there's different ways of doing this, but one way, you will basically inflate the cap that goes over the top of it with gas. And then, of course, the gas from there is removed and goes to some sort of a generating diesel generator or some kind of a gas-burning generator to produce electricity and heat.
Okay, so they are using the gas then eventually for energy of some sort on their own farm. Okay, got it. All right, now I got it. What, now, I noticed that you also in the study talked about bedding, and as far as, did you take a look at bedding as far as absorbency and cleanliness and all of that stuff, or was it directly related to then using it to make gas? In other words, I'm trying to ask, what's the best kind of bedding?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm the person who has the most expertise on what's best for the horses. I know that I've been...
I think that the best bedding for horses, it's going to depend a little bit on personal preference, but in terms of dustiness and ease of management, probably shavings. Wood shavings are probably the best. Straw can be very good, but I think often straw gets soiled more quickly, and it can be a little more difficult to manage, whereas shavings is probably the easiest. There's a couple of other products that are on the market, at least here. They're pelleted products. One is a pelleted wood product, and one is a pelleted straw product that you maybe are familiar with those. And those are, for ease of management, those would both be very good.
From the horse husband's, can I give an opinion from the horse husband's point of view? Straw sucks, and never use it because it's hard to clean for a horse husband. All right, I'm throwing straw out. I would say the smaller the little particles of bedding, the easier to clean. Like, I don't like wood shavings either because they're too big and they get caught in the floor. It just makes it a hassle. So I'm going from the horse husband. I am voting for the smaller the better.
I think the straw pellet, which we haven't examined, or I don't think we've examined that. We have examined it in stalls and found it to be very acceptable. It is easier to manage than some other types, and it composts quite well.
I've never heard of that. I've never heard of
that. Me neither. That sounds awesome.
One of the project products is called Strufex. That's Struefex. Strufex. You can probably Google that and find it. It's a good source. And we liked it here when we worked with it on camps. It was a little hard to get, and it's more expensive than wood shavings are going to be.
I got to tell you guys, and Jamie wasn't here on Monday, but I got to tell you guys, on Monday we had a lot of fun talking about the 13th annual North American Manure Expo, and they had come up with a whole bunch of slogans, and we laughed about that. And at the end of that conversation, I said, "Who the heck goes to this thing?" Now I know.
I believe it's in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania this year.
It is. It's in Chambersburg. That's right. Right down the street from Harrisburg. You're absolutely right. That's you right. Guys are close this year.
And I will
go. He booked his hotel.
I wondered who was going to that, Dr. Westendorf. Now I know.
Well, people that go are equipment dealers. So you'll find the latest in manure spreaders and anaerobic digester designs and... About whatever you want to find will be there, related to manure.
And
are you
going? You can take it from us that our Rutgers students are very used to handling bottles of poop of all kinds in our laboratories. You can come to my lab right now, and I can show you, lots and lots of small bottles filled with poop that we're digesting.
I gotta ask because we're a morning show, and we like to have fun here. You did not grow up wanting to study poop. I guarantee you, when people are asking you in high school, what are you going to do for a living, it was not, I'm going to study poop. So how did that happen?
For me, I actually started university. I'm from Arkansas, and I went to the University of Arkansas, and I started in animal science. And I worked as a work-study student for an animal parasitologist. And we collected poop from all kinds of farm animals and cultured parasites out of it. And somehow, that just led to the rest of my career being very interested in all aspects of animal waste. And eventually I got into agricultural engineering and environmental engineering, where animal waste management is, you know, a big, big topic. So, as a little girl, I didn't grow up thinking that. But as a college freshman, I was very early into it.
Oh. Do people run from you at parties when they ask and you tell them what you do?
Not so that I can see it. They may run like that.
My story is a little different. I grew up on a dairy farm around poop, but I had no intention of studying it. When I came to Rutgers, I was a dairy nutritionist, or a ruminant nutritionist, let's say. But as I was here a few years, I got involved with helping farmers develop waste management plans on their farms, which certainly has an element of nutrition in it. And then that just evolved into what I do now with working with animal waste.
Because,
and again,
you know,
at parties, I it's hard to explain sometimes. People just kind of give you that look that, oh, okay, that's nice.
Yeah, that's nice. I'm sorry I asked. So now, let me circle back now that I've had a little fun here. Let me circle back and ask, for average horse owners to be able to afford any kind of unit that is going to be able to take methane gas and do something with it on the farm, you've got to have a lot of horses, right?
Yes. In fact, we didn't mention it, but we did a pilot study down on a standard bred training farm not far from here. And we had kind of a modular unit. And I think to put the modular unit up, it's probably going to cost $200,000 to $300,000 just to do that.
Whoa.
So it's probably not practical on that level. But but other parts of the world have made anaerobic digestion practical on smaller farms. I think the potential big application here is perhaps have a centralized area where you have a digester, and farms in the neighborhood can transport their manure to that digester. Again, there's a big capital startup, but instead of working with just a few horses, you could draw from, you know, several hundred horses as part of that.
In an area like Lexington, or like we're at in Ocala, Florida, you know, where there's tons of horses around and everybody's always looking for a way to get rid of their manure cheaply, that definitely could be an option.
Correct. You could.
Yeah. Interesting.
Project we did in Monmouth County, I guess some of our challenges there, it was a small startup company who had this modular kind of a digester, and we tried a variety of bedding sources in it. The wood shavings, as Donna was mentioning, just did not digest very well. They were able to get some gas production, but it was not very efficient. Now, they later tried straw, and they had better digestion with the straw, with the problem that it is kind of long fiber, and it was hard to get into the machine properly. You don't add anything about that, Donna?
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I think some of these pelleted materials, especially the straw pellets, we haven't tested that, but that might work a lot better in some of the existing modular systems. I should mention
and
that.
How long does it take to, I'm going to use the word ferment because I just took a brewery tour over the weekend.
Yes.
So how long does it take in the fermenter before the gas comes out?
The manure, the waste, is retained on average about 20 to 30 days in the digester. So you're feeding it constantly, but on average, you know, it stays in there about 20 days, and so the digester would be sized to accept some certain, you know, pounds of material per day and allow that that long retention time.
Well, you know, that's about the same amount of time it takes to make beer, by the way. Just saying.
Yeah, exactly. Those anaerobic microbes need some time to grow.
To grow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to mention some of the work that's being done in Austria. They're working on sort of low-tech digesters where the material wouldn't be mixed, but it would be stacked in some type of sealed container. Just in the solid form. sealed in and then allowed to digest without a lot of mixing or anything of that nature. So the efficiency isn't as high, but it's not as large a capital cost, mm-hmm. and it's not as problematic to make it work. It has fewer things that can go wrong with it.
And
well, guys, we're going to put a we're running out of time here. We're going to put a link to the article that we're talking about today on our Facebook page. You can find it at Horses in the Morning Facebook page. We'll also have a link in our show notes for today's show. Thank you so much, Dr. Is it Fennell, right?
Yes, Fennell.
Dr. Fennell and Dr. Westendorf for joining us. Of course, it's Rutgers University. You can find the Equine Science Center at Rutgers at esc.rutgers.edu. We certainly appreciate Rutgers coming on here on a regular basis and talking health with us. Thank you so much, guys. And I would like to say we'll see you at the Horse Manure Conference this year, but I won't be there. So... So have a good time, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Those guys party. Those guys party. Yeah. Man, if you go to the poop conference, you are partying like a rock star.
You missed it on Monday when we were talking about that. Some of the great slogans they came up with for this year's poop conference, like Manure Expo, where nobody stands behind their product. That was one of them.
That is funny. That's funny.
How about this one for the tagline? Heaping piles of fun. There was another one.
Nice.
They have a sense of humor. I think we should get somebody live from the Manure Expo this year. What do you think?
There's a good idea. I like that a lot.
Yeah, we should do that.
Live. How are we not broadcasting live from the Manure Expo is what I want to know. Seriously?
Oh, you know. Chambersburg is a pretty little town, too. We've been to Chambersburg before. We should contact them and say, you want to bring us up? We'll do the show live.
There we go. I like it.
Yeah. That fits our content perfectly, actually. So,
yep.
There we go.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you to Rutgers. We appreciate them joining us. Let's take a break for a song. And, of course, I know we played this probably recently. I don't care. It's Derby week. We're all getting in the mood. So Run for the Roses with Templeton Thompson right after this word from the Horse Radio Network.
Here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022 or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride.
Pastures of green, the sun on your withers. and it's something unknown that drives you and carries you home. And it's run for the roses as fast as you can. Your fate is delivered, your moment's at hand. It's the chance of a lifetime, and a lifetime of chance. And it's high time you joined in the dance. It's high time you joined in the dance. So join in.
That is Templeton Thompson, Run for the Roses. Gosh, that song just mesmerizes me. I love it. I love it. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. And we would like to thank, obviously, our lovely sponsors, including Vimeda, for being a part of today's show. And Glenn, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You're awful quiet back there, making me nervous.
Did you hear the story, the big story that's been out at the beginning of this week? It was in about 100 different times into my Google feed, and that is the Appaloosa horses in Worcester County in Massachusetts that were attacked by the bear.
What? No.
Yes, and Worcester County is Worcester County is not too far out of Boston. Worcester is about an hour west of Boston. We have a good friend that lives there in Worcester County. And there were two Appaloosa horses that were out, and a 14-year-old girl went out, and her name is Brooke Perry, and went out to bring the horses in at night and discovered them all cut up. There were a 19 and a 20-year-old Appaloosa, and she said she was rubbing the horses' necks when she felt something sticky, and she looked down and she saw her hands were covered in blood. They called the veterinarian who rushed to the barn, sedated the horses, and treated the injuries. And the state environmental police officer determined that the attacker was likely a bear by the scrape marks and cut marks on the neck and stuff. They said that bears have roamed the property in the past, but she has never seen one in with the horses before. And now they've installed cameras on the fields to keep an eye on the horses.
Dude, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, you don't like to think about a bear out there trying to have your horse for lunch. That's something you like to think about.
It's never good when you pet your horse and your hand comes back wet. And
no, never good. You know, am I the only one? And tell me if I'm crazy, okay? Now, Beaker and Scooter are turned out together in a field at night that we can't see. So they're in the far end of the farm. And we go out in the morning to get the horses. Am I the only one that cringes every morning when I go out that I'm going to see my horse either three-legged lame or with a big hole? Am I just paranoid? It's just me.
Wait a second. Are you telling me you think your horse is going to be dead every morning?
Well, not dead, but, you know, I know my horse. He's a troublemaker.
Yeah,
but, you know,
every
Tony,
morning.
Tony's
yeah.
just
oh,
a
no, that's
troublemaker.
Weird.
So yeah, is that weird? Okay.
Yeah, that's weird.
Am I the only one?
Good morning.
I want to hear from listeners. Am I the only one that thinks that? I guess I am. But he's a troublemaker. He gets into everything.
Yeah, so. Well, that's just, you need to work on your pasture management, really. If you're so worried about your horse, you need to double check your fence lines. Jennifer, you know how you and I both love spur suaders?
Yes.
Okay, spur suaders, explain what they are.
Spur suaders are a specifically designed spur in English or Western style that the part that comes in contact with the horse is shaped like a giant fat button, and it is perpendicular to the neck of the spur, so that when you touch the horse, it has a larger surface area. It's designed for horses who, when you touch them with a spur, have a tendency to wrinkle their abdomen and push against it. That's what a spur suader is. They're kind of funny looking.
It's a gentle spur, but they definitely look weird. And apparently they're not legal in the USEF or the FEI, which is weird because I know I've seen a picture of William Fox Pitt eventing in them. But so I thought they were legal and have actually used mine. Apparently I was not legal, but I was only riding.
Why? Because they're too gentle? They allow other spurs, right?
You know how they are with the FEI, the fear change. And it's like gimmicky. They think so.
Oh, they're not fearing change right now. Have you seen all the reports coming out of the meetings over there? You remember we talked about them changing eventing? You should see what they're talking about doing to some of the other sports.
Really? Well,
don't get him started,
right
Jamie.
Now,
don't get him started.
I'm trying to keep going. I'm trying to push past this. The spur suaders are not FEI legal, but I just read on Eventing Nation that Stuart Pittman uses them for his off-the-track thoroughbred. So that's when I really started using them, was because, you know, you need something a little more gentle and a little, you know, bigger and not something so demanding. Well, you can be a part of trying to get spur suaders used in FEI competitions and making them legal in the USEF competitions. And I'll post that link on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, or you can find it on Eventing Nation. You can kind of put your proposed rule change form in so spur suaders will become legal. Jennifer, get on it!
That's a good idea. The FEI loves change when it's their idea.
That's true. They're talking, I mean, some of the things coming out of the FEI right now, Victoria probably is following this too. She should be up here shortly. Where is Victoria, by the way, Jennifer? Has she not, she's not shown up.
I haven't. Well, I'll go looking.
Okay, good.
Get on it, Jennifer.
Yeah, I don't know where Victoria went. But, so the FEI is talking about, they're talking with dressage. What they're trying to do, remember we talked about eventing and all the changes they want to make to eventing, including the name. Well, now they're doing those same meetings right now are going on about dressage and jumping and every sport out there, the World Equestrian Games. They want to reduce the World Equestrian Games from 16 days to 10, which means probably cutting an event or two out of the World Equestrian Games because they're so expensive to do. They're trying to find more countries who would be willing to do it. So that's one of the suggestions they had. And then they're also looking at shortening the length of events. They want dressage tests to be shorter for TV. They're also talking about pas de deux. Those are the ones where two horses go in and they do horse ballet together, you know? So they're talking about making those part of the games and making those mandatory classes so that when they get TV, it's much more fun. So they're really, and they're talking, one of the things was shortening the dressage tests all around, which I don't think any eventers would be objecting to, but Wendy has suggestions as far as driving is eliminating dressage altogether and just do marathon. We'll just call it, just call it marathon day or something and eliminate that altogether.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure there are a lot of eventers that'd be happy to eliminate dressage too. So they're talking about all kinds of changes with jumping and the way the teams are made and how you qualify. They are really looking at shaking up the sport, and it's all for TV. They want it to appear better for spectators and TV. That's the two goals.
I know. Well, you know, that's what they're... We'll see how many of these pass. I mean, some of them are so ridiculous that I can't imagine too many of them getting through. You know what I mean?
I know, and there'll be a lot of them that won't get through, and they've been kept qualifying that at every meeting. These are just proposals, because apparently, well, when you get a press release from the FEI, and about the fourth paragraph down, it says, and a lively discussion ensued. You know what that means, right? I mean, when they're saying in their own press release, a lively discussion ensued, it means they were throwing chairs at each other.
A lively discussion ensued.
That means nobody was happy about nothing. All right. This is a story, too. Talk about racing. And, you know, sometimes we get picked on because we pick on the big lick horses there in Tennessee. And, you know, we have a couple of things that we're really avid about. And we get some people give us crap because we don't pick on racing or any of the other sports. Well, you know, we do, actually. We would love to see them clean up racing, and we carry the stories all the time about trainers getting in trouble and things like that. Well, this time it's over on the harness training side. Get this.
Man.
The New York State Gaming Commission issued a $343,000 fine, issued a $343,000 fine and a 3-year ban against harness trainer Louis Penna on Monday, holding him responsible for 1,717 equine drug violations. How does it get to 1,700 before you catch on, first of all?
Exactly. 17, that guy should be pumped full of drugs and hung out to dry. Like, I don't understand how that even happens.
I don't either. I don't get how that happens. They said that he never testified to deny that he repeatedly cheated by administering illegal substances to racehorses more than 1,000 times. Now, there were four, you know, you guys talked about the fact that there were four veterinarians, two of them who Jennifer and I had used for our vets in the past, who were suspended in Pennsylvania because Penn National Racetrack is really cracking down. They were suspended before. But anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up. It's just one of those things you go, how did that even happen? How did we get that far? But we are unfortunately not going to have time for Victoria at this point. We have to get to our next guest. I don't know if she was delayed somehow or not. But let's go right to our next guest. We have not heard from them in a while, and I wanted to catch up. And we did mention that Dean Reeves had some health problems earlier a couple of months ago, and we had some listeners asking how he was doing. So we want to bring Dean on and find out how he is doing. This is Dean Reeves of Reeves Racing. How are you, Dean? I'm not sure we have Dean there. Jennifer, we'll have to check on that. I'm not sure what that was about.
I think that let's try it again. Let's see if we can get Dean here. Dean, you there? It sounds like he's getting out of his car.
No, you know, I'm not sure that's him either. So we're going to
okay.
have Jennifer give him a call
right now. She's on the line with Victoria. Man, she's a busy woman today. Yeah, Jennifer, we can't get Dean on the line, so let's try to give him a call. Glenn, I didn't cover all of the rest of the horses that I wanted to as far as the Derby horses coming up, so I can run through the next five if you want.
Sure, let's do that.
Yeah, we covered American Pharoah, Dortmund, Carpe Diem, Mubtahi, Materiality. I cannot say that. And the next in line is Firing Line. And Firing Line, Jennifer, you're in the room here. Bless your heart.
We might get Dean on the phone here, live. Let's see. See if Dean answers. Hello, is this Dean?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Dean, you have Jamie and Glenn, and you're live on the air. How are you?
Oh, wow, it's great to hear from you both. How have you been?
Good, and I want to remind everybody, if we have new listeners on here, the Reeves, Dean and Patty, have been coming on our show for years and years and years, and, of course, they are the owners of Mucho Macho Man, and that's how we started with them all these years ago. But, Dean, we did cover a little while ago that you had some heart issues, and some of our listeners and we were very concerned about you and wanted to check in and see how you're doing.
Well, I'm doing very well. I, in fact, just left cardio rehab doing some exercise, and but things are really going well. It'll be 6 weeks Friday, and it was one of those, as they call, sudden heart attacks. And I encourage your listeners out there to exercise, but check with their cardiologist or find one. If they don't have one, get a stress test, because even though you feel great, that heart attack will happen all of a sudden.
And you're, you know, we know a little bit about you. I happen to know you're not that old. So it's something that, you know, my mother had her first at 52. You know, it's...
Well,
it's,
that's right. I mean, we've got... That's right. We've got people in this rehab class that are 45 years old. So
wow.
It's not an age thing. It is could be hereditary or your diet, not getting enough exercise. So, you know, I encourage everybody to be aware of that and just go get yourself checked out.
And you're feeling good? Your prognosis is good?
Yes, it is. The good Lord was looking after me, and things are looking very good.
Terrific. And I know that you still have some horses running all over the place, not one in the Derby this year, unfortunately.
Well, we hope to get back, but not this year, so we'll keep trying. But it looks like a very exciting Kentucky Derby for this year.
Now, you have some connections. Oh, go ahead, Jamie.
Before we get to the Derby, I want to congratulate you guys on, I saw on Patty's page she posted about Diamond Earring, and Diamond Earring just won a stakes race.
Well, it was her first maiden race, but she won her first time out, and we're very excited about the possibilities for Diamond Earring. So I think we could have a really exciting summer with her. She got started late, but I know it's a great story behind that. And so anyway, we're very excited about her, but we do have Call Me Crazy in this Saturday at Gulfstream Park in a stakes race.
Oh, how exciting. So you've got, you guys always have the best names for your horses. Diamond Earring, Call Me Crazy. And then who else is running in your stable right now that we can kind of keep an eye out for? I just love the names.
Well, we have Caicos Express. It's going to be a nice colt for us. Kier Royale is another colt that we're excited about. And then we have Dr. Pham, who was the surgeon that did Kathy's heart transplant, and he should be having his first race in the next couple of weeks. So we've got some, you know, pretty good horses in the stable right now.
Fantastic. Sounds like they're all over the country right now.
Well, we're racing mostly down in Florida, but we'll be going up to New York pretty soon, and we're also in partnership with Randy Hill. We're going to be running WV Jet Setter in the Chick Lang on Preakness Day. So we're looking forward to that.
Fun.
Well, and you have a couple of connections to the Kentucky Derby, too. Your trainer, Kathy Ritbo's husband, Tim, owns one of the horses in the race, right?
That's right. They've got Bolo. He's a part owner in that with some of the other folks with Stronic Group, and he's very excited about that. We're going to be pulling for Bolo.
And then you have another trainer. You have a second trainer I know that you work with called George Weaver, who trains your Jet Setter horse. And he has, now I have to say, we did mention it earlier in the show, he has the horse with the longest odds in the race, which if he was being ridden by a certain jockey we all know that rides with long odds, we would feel comfortable about. So tell us about, I don't even know how to say this horse's name. Is it Tensendor?
I think that's correct. That's what I'm saying. And you know, quite frankly, that's a nice horse. He's just improving and getting better, you know, each week with his works and so forth. So even though the odds are long, excuse me, I wouldn't count him out. You know, he ran a big race in the wood, and I think this horse is getting better every week. George is a great trainer, and he wouldn't be in there if he didn't think he had a shot.
He needed Calvin Burrell, though. He really did. If it was Calvin
Burrell,
we could all just root for him, right?
I know. You know, Calvin, you got to watch that guy. He comes in there loaded, doesn't he? I mean, he's a tricky character on all that.
He got John Terranova's horse, El Kabir, this year. So that's one we have to take a look at. El Kabir is also sitting He's pretty long shot too. He's at 33-1, so we can't rule
right.
Calvin out on El Kabir. Do you have a favorite? If you take your connections out, do you have a favorite this year?
I really like Dortmund all year. I think he's a big horse with a big stride, and I think he's going to be able to get the mile and a quarter. I think that extra eighth of a mile really separates these horses, and I just feel like Dortmund, you know, has got that ability to get that extra eighth of a mile.
Over American Pharoah?
Yeah, that's not to say American Pharoah won't be there, but I'm sticking with Dortmund. That's and then Bolo is my long shot, so I'm going to be betting Dortmund and Bolo.
Now, right. See, I knew I liked this guy. I told you, I just can't see Dortmund getting beat. Just watching his last couple races, he's just a powerhouse, and his stride is immense. He's like, Dean, how tall is he? 17-2.
I don't know, but I would think he's probably close to 17. Mucho Macho Man was, you know, in that range of 17 hands, and you know that's a big stride on those horses, and it really makes a difference when you're going a mile and a quarter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely does. I feel like they don't get unwound till the first half is over, and then they really
right.
start going, just like Mucho
yeah.
Macho Man, you know, with his running. So. I don't know. I think that Dean is one of the more professional pickers that we've had on the show, so I'll have to go with
well,
much more
well,
professional
thank
than
you.
Us.
Yeah, you're right? too kind.
Dean, how is Mucho Macho Man doing? How's he doing at that farm in Kentucky?
He is enjoying life. We saw him a couple of weeks ago. He looks fabulous. At last count, he has bred to 102 mares.
Woo!
So he's been well received, and yeah, and he's taken to his job like a professional. So, yeah.
Said like a true dad.
That's right. Just like his dad.
Oh, gosh. You do have a lot of kids and grandkids, so, you know, you can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Sorry,
he
ahead.
Looked fabulous up there. I was going to tell you, he just looked fabulous. He's actually been gaining weight through all this, which is a little unusual. But they've done a fabulous job up there. Their entire staff at Dena Springs has just done great. So we were happy to see that, and it was good to go give him a hug and see how well he was doing.
Oh, man, he can't be in a better place with better grass and better care. I mean, that's top of the top. So I knew as soon as he was going to Edina Springs, he was going to be just fine.
Yep. Oh, I know. It's been fabulous. And what a beautiful facility.
Oh, absolutely. Well, listen, Dean, thank you so much for joining us. I'm so glad that you are doing okay. I was a panic attack when I saw Patty's page on what she posted about you. So we please give your lovely wife our love and tell her we miss her. And I'm glad everything's going well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And it's always so good to hear from you both. And I'm glad that y'all are doing well. And I know the show continues to be a great success.
Well, thank
it continues
you,
anyway.
We'll see you, Dean. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you so much. Y'all take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Bye.
And I think their website is Reeves Racing, if I have that right. I'm looking it up right now. I think it's ReevesRacing.com.
ReevesTR.com. ReevesTR.com is Reeves Thoroughbred Racing.
Okay, good, because Reeves Racing takes you to Ryan Reeves Racing, who apparently does...
Timber.
Large go-karts. He races sprint cars, is what it looks like. Yeah, so it's a kid that races sprint cars. Not even close to the right one.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, he sounds great. I'm glad he's doing so well. We were all worried about him. So I'm glad he's doing well, and I appreciate him taking time out. You know, they've always been so gracious to us. Every time we have asked, they've come on the show. So
I love it.
We
just call
that.
Him and he live on the air and he answers his like cell phone in his car. I'm like, how's it going?
Well, let's. We are going to be. We have a best of show for tomorrow. I know that's 2 in 1 week. We had one yesterday, but when we have these 5 week months, we don't have our regular fill in guests. So we occasionally, like twice a year, we end up with a week with two extra episodes, and we'll have a best of for you tomorrow. Jennifer does a lot of work putting those together, so thank you to her. And then Friday, of course, it's going to be, we have Dawn Deems coming on with us. She is going to be joining us for our Derby talk for the first half hour. She's a listener of ours she just loves this stuff, right? She's not a handicapper, right?
She's my sister from another mother, pretty much. She just is a huge fan like I am and follows it. And she's even, well, she's way smarter than me about all of it. So I love that we're going to get her on and get her her opinion.
Well, and then I will say that later on, then in the hour on Friday, we are, during our Derby Hour preview, we're going to have one of Todd Pletcher's grooms who knows all the horses. And, of course, Todd Pletcher has 4 in the Kentucky Derby. He probably has, about 60 in all the races the 2 days. It's got to be a lot. So he's going to come on with us and kind of give us the backside look at what's going on in the Pletcher stable during that time. So and also how their horses are preparing and what's happening. And that's all going to be happening on Friday morning. Now, we will still be doing really bad ads. So get your ads in, too. Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com, put really bad ads in the subject line, and just copy and paste the entire ad into the email. That's the important part. Don't just send a link, because the links go away. So copy and paste the whole thing in there. And I'll be back for this week. You and Jennifer did it last week. Thank you for covering for me. And it'll be a good really bad ads this week. I feel it. I feel like it's going to be an excellent really bad ads.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. Don't forget to download our app, iOS or Android. Go to the App Store and search for Horse Radio Network. It's free. It's easy. It's the simplest way to listen to our shows.
And the app, I was doing my paperwork yesterday for the DNA test for Thor, Mustang.
Yeah.
And I actually couldn't figure out the information and couldn't get the guy find out the information, so I had to go on the app to listen to that show to hear what the guy said about what I'm supposed to do. So I got it all handled, and all of the sample went in the mail yesterday, and I have a little special surprise as well, because I might have DNA tested another animal on the farm. So we shall
see.
Chicken?
I'm excited. One of your chickens?
I'm not saying a word.
No.
I'm not saying a word. It's going to
be. Hey, there's somebody in a race with you, and I don't know if you've been noticing this on her page, but there's somebody that it probably has more chickens than you right now, and that is Dr. Wendy Ying of the Driving Radio Show. She has been hatching out chickens left and right.
Has she really?
Yes, she has. She said she has 13 or 14 little chicks right now. So she's been hatching them out. You know what she wants to do? She wants to train them. Get this. She's going to train them to be friendly, to be people friendly. She's going to acclimate them to people and to sell them as backyard chickens, because she said everybody buying for their little, backyard 2 or 3 chickens wants friendly chickens. So she's training them. She's going to sell trained chickens.
I really have tried to train chickens, and you can tell her I said this, it just depends on the chicken. You can work as hard as you. I have got those baby chicks in there, and I play with them every day, and I get the girls and the kids in there to play with them and love on them. And there's just a couple of them that will just peck you. And they're tiny baby chicks. They're like a week old, and they already are like, I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. I'm going to peck you. So tell her don't get disheartened if some of them just refuse to love her, because I really try to make mine love me, and some of them just go, yeah, shut up. Give me the food. They just can't be taught to love.
When we were at the conference over the weekend, chickens actually were a subject that came up, and they were highlighting the chicken chicks. Facebook page. Do you know she makes a ton of money with that? Follow her?
Facebook page?
Chicken Chick. She's the Chicken Chick. And that's the Chicken Chick, C-H-I-C-K. And she has half a million followers on Facebook. And it's all stuff about chickens. So you definitely have to follow that page, the Chicken Chick.
I do follow it, so I'll have to make sure that she's in my news feed more often.
Yeah, because Wendy said that chickens are the fastest growing backyard pet in the world right now.
I believe it. I mean, my God, I just called and ordered chickens, and they were delivered to my door. I mean, you can't do that with just anything. So I believe it. I believe it. Everybody's realizing that you don't have to buy eggs of chickens that are kept in tiny little cages. You can just have free-range chickens and get these delicious eggs right out of your backyard. So I love it. I love it. I love owning them. I think you guys should get them. I will never go without chickens ever again. They're such great pets. They eat all the bugs. They lay eggs. They give you gifts all the time. So you can't argue with it.
There you go. And now we're going to end Chicken Talk here on Horses in the Morning.
Chickens in the Morning. That's our next
chickens
show on the network.
Chickens in the Morning. We need a new show. That's right. You can host that one. Half an hour every morning. Chicken Talk with Wendy. You and Wendy can host that one. Be perfect.
I love it. Get a sponsor. We'll do it.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you again on Friday. Tomorrow we'll have a recorded show for you. Take care.
Bay Neuter Gals, you guys. Have a great one.